World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I couldn't wait to get down here this morning. I guess I say that every morning, but I really couldn't get wait to get down here in my multi-million-dollar studio. A lot going on, a lot to talk about. I had a wonderful day yesterday. I'm going to explain some things to you as we go through the show. I want to encourage you. Man, there are a lot of people going through a lot of stuff. I got a couple emails, texts, whatever they were this morning already, people that are bearing burdens out there. And, you know, I'm not going to take time to get into all of them, but, you know, let's continue to, he ain't heavy, he's my brother, right? I know what Larry's walking through. I don't know what Larry's walking through, but I know Larry's walking through something unbelievable. I know what's going on with Ricky, and Jeff could tell us some more about what's going on with Ricky. And when Jeff gets in here, I want to talk to you offline if we can. And I mean, just, man, it's a war, isn't it? It's a war for sure. And we got to understand that it is. And it'd be nice to be able to roll up on the corner and suck on our thumb, but that's not the way the game's played, and that's not the way it works. And sometimes the devil scores a touchdown, and sometimes he doesn't. And it's all part of life. I thank God that I'm healthy, wealthy, and wise this morning. I thank God my wife's healthy and wealthy and wise. And I feel for those who aren't in that same situation. So, again, let's just continue to lift up one another. I think of Mike Blake. You know, 3 months ago, 2 months ago, whatever it was, Mike Blake looked like he was on his deathbed, and thank God he's been raised back up. And Ricky, a miracle's been performed in the life of Ricky, but we have to continue to go to war with him, Ricky, to lift up his arms. And a lot going on, but I want to share some encouraging news with you today. Okay, can I do this? First of all, Spencer, let's start off with this. Because I just got this from my good buddy, Clay. Clay just sent me a video. Did I send this to you? Go to the stuff. Let me look. Clay just sent this morning, and I thought, you know what? This will be good to start off with, folks. Johnny Cash, I won't back down. I won't back down. No matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, this show is going to be an encouragement to you this morning. Claudine Burnham, hang in there. We're going to get you in here. Well, listen, folks, we're going to talk to some powerful women this morning, some great things that are going on. And I love talking to powerful men, but they're getting harder and harder to find. But I got some good stuff for you today. Hey, I don't know what you say. I ain't backing down. Go ahead. Go ahead and play that. Let this be our anthem this morning.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. Down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
Amen.
Gonna stand my ground, won't be turned around.
Amen.
And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down. Down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. Well, I know what's right.
Yep, me too.
I got just one life. In a world that keeps on pushing me around, but I stand my ground, and I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
Hey, man, we're in the middle of it. And it's hard to find those who won't back down, but I'm one. I ain't backing down. Come hell or high water, as they say. They can stand me up at the gates of hell. I'm not going to back down. Not going to back down.
And amen.
Amen. Thanks for sending that to me this morning, Clay. And Facebook's probably going to ban us. Heaven for Johnny Cash, probably mad we played his song. We didn't get his approval this morning. Facebook's unbelievable. YouTube. Throw them all in a barrel and do what? Hey, so listen, I got a couple things. You guys following what's going on in New Hampshire? Are you following what's going on in New Hampshire? Pulled up here for me, New Hampshire election. Then I got Claudine and Kelly going to come in here. Our girls from New Hampshire who are up there fighting this fight. They about had a riot last night in New Hampshire. I think it's in that. It says New Hampshire election there, Spence. Yeah, slide on down. There's a little video. They had a public meeting. I'm going to have Claudine talk to us about it here. Keep on going. Right here. They had a public meeting. They had it in a little building. Weren't enough people to be there. They moved it to the high school. Some shenanigans going on. Shenanigans going on in New Hampshire regarding the election. The top video right there, Spence. It's about 2 minutes. Just so you get a feel of what's going on in New Hampshire. Go ahead, play that. Okay, you can pull that down. Trust me, some big stuff going on in New Hampshire. My wife just came down and said, honey, I can't get your show on anything. Anybody else having those troubles out there? YouTube not streaming us this morning. What's going on? Always something going on, isn't it? We're fighting. Listen, folks, we're just fighting as much as we can to try to keep stuff rolling on. So listen, I was watching. You guys remember a couple weeks ago, we were in New Hampshire, and I ran into Claudine and Kelly and the crew up there. And so I was watching last night online. I said, what the hell's going on in New Hampshire? What's going on up there? And Kelly said, Claudine said, I wasn't able to be at the meeting, but here's what's going on. So I invited her to come in today with her buddy Kelly. What the heck's going on in New Hampshire? By the way, I'm starting to love these women more and more and more. I'm finding out women are standing their ground and fewer men are standing their ground. Come on in. Come on in, Claudine, Kelly, whoever. Come on in.
Good morning. What's going on? This is Claudine.
What's going on?
Yeah, so my friend Kelly Potenza is on, and she's been in this from the beginning. So I'm going to give the floor to her because she really knows what's going on, and she was there last night. Kelly,
okay,
there?
Kelly, help us out in the flatlands here of Ohio and understand what the heck's going on up there. Live free or die, it says in New Hampshire. What's going on up there?
Yeah, it's actually – can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so it's more like live free or comply in New Hampshire now. So, gosh, there's not really a 5-minute soundbite for what's going on, but basically, the Wyndham Board of Selectmen, whole process works.
Okay, hang on. Wyndham is a city, and Board of Selectmen would be like commissioners, folks, or council. Go ahead.
Okay, so, you know, to give a little overview of what transpired, Wyndham had the largest discrepancy ever in their election on November 3rd. And it was basically because, a Democrat, actually, one that was going for state rep, decided basically that she was going to do a recount because it was very close in her race. And, you know, everything from that transpired. So when they did the recount, they saw huge discrepancies between. There were actually 8 people going for 4 slots. And in those 4 slots, The Republicans gained almost 300 votes each in the recount. And then the Democrat actually lost almost 199 votes.
So they found 300 votes for every Republican when they did the recount. Every Republican was 300 votes short. Is that right?
Correct. Yep. Okay. On the state, basically, this is on a state rep side. Okay. And after this, I can send you guys some real good information in a sense that you know outlines all of this. So they basically, in New Hampshire, they've been ignoring any sort of anomalies or reports, meaning the AG's office and the Secretary of State, for years. And this election basically just spiraled. You know, it's now people are finally waking up and getting extremely involved. And so there's just a whole group of us that that rallied around more than just Wyndham. You know, we reported a lot of things. And that same AG where everything was reported to didn't even have the decency to respond to actually he was served, everything. So when the Wyndham stuff really continued to go nowhere because no one was responding, the Attorney General, who is now the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in New Hampshire.
Oh, boy. Isn't that great?
Yeah. So, the corruption runs deep in New Hampshire, unfortunately. So we have a state senator. His name is Bob Guida. And he took this with Dr. David Strang and then a couple other Wyndham residents came on board like a little bit later. But that's, you know, Ken Eyring and Tom Murray. But in any case, Bob Guida is the one. He basically had meetings with the AG, and he just got fed up. And he took it upon himself and with several other people that were working on a bill. We got the bill passed in the Senate, 24-0. We got the bill passed in the House, a full pass in the House to do an audit in Wyndham. And then, of course, it went to the governor, and the governor signed it. So here we are, all of these months later, and now they're basically picking how the bill works, and I can send you that information as well, as the Wyndham has the first pick in regards with the forensic auditors. And that process, which I was very much involved in regards with researching and stuff like that for these forensic auditors,
Kelly, yes. you guys just want to clean elections, a simple recount, and they won't give you one. Is that right? Even though you passed the law, they won't give you one?
Yeah, so we passed the law, and now Wyndham, basically, they picked someone and the people. Now, not everybody there last night. There was probably almost 400-500 people there last night. They don't want the person that Wyndham picked. And they kind of are just ignoring the will of the people. They want Jovan Pulitzer because he's really the ballot guy, and that's who we need.
Right.
And the person that was picked is Mark Lindemann.
Political hack. Some political hack, right?
Yeah.
So they pass a law, and then they go out and get a political hack to obfuscate the law. Is that basically what's going on?
Well, not so much. I mean, yes, in some ways, they're just not listening to the people.
Sure.
So.
Why would they?
Yeah, and really, I don't think there's any going back. So last night, the Board of Selectmen basically said they are not going to do a revote for the person that the people want. So the Secretary of State and the AG have already made their pick, which that is Harry Hursty. Definitely qualified gentleman. I can send you some information about him. So now what happens is the two analysts or audit teams now come together. That would be Mark Lindemann of Verified Voting, as well as Harry Hursty, and then they make their third pick. But the problem is that the minute that the bill was signed, that was on April 12th, the clock started ticking. So from that point, there's 45 days to get the analysts and get the audit done. Mind you, there's only 10,006 ballots, and so it's not huge. We're not talking Maricopa County or anything, folks, but this is still, it still needs to get done. And so we feel as if the clock is running.
So Kelly, they're afraid if this domino falls in New Hampshire, oh, then it's going to be Maricopa County. Then it's going to be Georgia. Then it's going to be Wisconsin. So they're doing everything they can to make sure that this thing is stonewalled, right?
Correct. I think this, you know, last night, if you were there, that you could hear the chairman of the, you know, the board of selectmen there. He was basically saying, you know, there's not much time. We can't waste time. And, you know, yes, we've been saying that all along, but we also want the right people to do the audit, because if they're not, if we don't have the right people in the room, then guess what? We're not going to get anything from this.
So Kelly, and, I interrupt a lot for a living, Kelly. So I was watching the video. I was watching the live stream video last night. The decision came down. They're not going to re-choose, yada, yada, yada. And people were leaving. What's the next move, Kelly? What goes on now? Once again, the will of the people, they ask, they go through all the proper channels, and they get stonewalled by the selectmen, whatever the heck that means. What's the next step, Kelly?
So the next step, there are some people that are literally doing some boots on the ground in regards with Wyndham getting those people, like specifically their names, their addresses. And, you know, there's a woman that is part of a New Hampshire voter integrity group. She's been very integral in this whole process. So she's really rallying people for on that end. I can't tell you what we're doing on a higher level end, because that will, you know, that's going to give the enemy our secret.
Sure.
So I know God wins in the end. So I'm confident that the truth is going to come out. However the truth is going to come out, the truth is going to come out. And
So Kelly, listen, this is critical, because as you said, it's 10,000 people. And if they were able to cheat in little old Wyndham, New Hampshire, 10,000 votes, that will open the door to what was going on all across the country. That's what you guys are saying happened, right? There was some shenanigans that went on locally.
Yeah, I mean, we don't ever say the F word, which is the fraud word, because we don't know right now. But I can tell you this. This is for a fact. So, I mean, can I tell you that the machines are a problem? I can't tell you that. Can I tell you that that there was, you know, human error? I can't tell you any of that right now, because we don't know. But I can tell you this. The art of the steal. And this is throughout the country. So this doesn't have anything to do with New Hampshire. There's one thing that is specific to New Hampshire I'll go into in just a second. But the art of the steal is in the absentee ballots, the mail-in ballots. That is what transpired. If you just look at my town, for example, my town had 1,943 people that voted in person. The mail-in ballots for my town were 2,570. That would equal almost 100% of the vote. Those mail-in ballots are, I would say, at least 60% of them are bogus. Wow. That's the problem. That's the art of the steal. If you guys haven't watched the Mike Lindell stuff, and there's been tons of podcasts and things that are talking about it, his second video that came out, that shows exactly what they did. They manipulated the voter rolls.
Yep,
they did mass mailings. That's what happened.
Come on in, Larry. Come on in. Hang on there, Kelly. Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, I just want to congratulate Kelly and all of her friends and everything there in New Hampshire for doing what they're doing. And also I want everybody else to know that that can be done in all 50 states to some degree at least.
Yep, now, need some leadership, yep.
When I got elected as my executive committee man for my precinct here for the Republican Party, the first thing I did was sit down and draft a resolution for our county party to pass to ask, you know, to go up the line and ask for these audits, ask for the paper trails, ask for looking at the code for the machine voting and stuff.
All politics is local now. It's all local now.
And it can be done in all 50 states. Go. But you don't even have to join, folks. Just go to friendsoflibertyunited.com, click on the True the Vote button, and take a look at what can be done. Anybody can do this, and it helps if we organize ourselves and get together and put groups together and packages to get this done everywhere across the whole country. That helps, but you can do it without joining Friends of Liberty United. Just go and get something done, people.
Come on in, Claudine. Thanks, Larry.
Yeah, I just want to back up to last night before the meeting. And Kelly, I wasn't there, but I knew something was up, because on the agenda for the Board of Selectmen, it said that the meeting was going to be at the townhouse, which only holds about 40 people. And the people that were rallying up the crowd, were told it was going to be at the high school. So this was this past weekend. And I said, no. If it's on the agenda, the location, that's where it's got to be. So they were trying to divert people from the beginning even to show up. Yeah. But our people outsmarted them because they got there an hour to an hour and a half early, figured it out. And Kelly, you were there. You said you guys were out there chanting and singing outside the building because you couldn't get in. Is that right?
Yeah. So am I back on?
Yeah, you are.
Okay. So yeah. So basically how it has to work is, you know, and I know this from you, Claudine, of course. So they would have had to announce the meeting change. So this is like the regular scheduled meeting for the Board of Selectmen. So basically this whole thing on the agenda about doing a revote, that came midweek. So on Friday, they would have had to change the location of the meeting. And so nice. That didn't happen. And so basically we just, there's a, you know, that was really Marilyn and the whole group of people here that New Hampshire Voter Integrity, a lot of freedom groups, rallied everyone to show up there. Did they have them show up either at the high school or at the town hall? A lot of people kept coming over from the town hall because they all started kind of at the high school. And then there was a Wyndham resident, a couple of them, and Marilyn Todd was in there. And basically at the beginning of the meeting was just, it was like a dog on a bone. She wouldn't leave them alone until they moved the meeting over to the high school, which was a bigger location, which would hold all, like I said, 400 to 500.
Yeah, listen, they don't want to be held accountable. Claudine, God bless you. Kelly, I gotta let you go. Keep us in the loop here, and we just salute you guys for fighting. And listen, we're not Rush Limbaugh here, so we don't have a whole lot of impact, but you keep us in the loop, and we'll do whatever we can to try to drive people your way. We appreciate what you're doing. I won't back down. That's got to be our anthem. I won't back down. This stuff is locally, and we can win it locally. Claudine or Kelly, final word?
Yeah, I just like to say shout out to Larry Richardson. I love what you said. And that's really what it comes down to. People need to get activated here. You can literally go to your local town and you can do your own audit. You can figure it out. Go through the voter rolls, get all of this stuff, do 91A requests. You can get all of this information and you can get it done. Build a team and show the F word, yeah. The fraud. Build the team and show it. So thanks.
God bless you. God bless Claudine, anything? Say hi to those lovely girls.
No, just thank you so much, Coach. But, you know, just be smart and always stay ahead because they're trying to outsmart us every way we can. So that's all I got to say.
Scoundrels. God bless you. Reggie, come on in.
I just want to say thank you and Kelly and Claudine for doing that. I don't know what I can do, but I have some buy-in as a patriot and a Christian, but I was born and raised in Maricopa County, and I don't know what I can do with Tiny Hearts, but I'm willing to back you guys up administratively or whatever you need. Please reach out to me because I will be there to back you guys up. We need to do this for our nation's freedoms.
Yeah, they got a good crew. They got a good crew working up. Are those live free or die? That's the motto of New Hampshire. Live free or die. So we'll see if they're going to live up to that or not. Joe Allen, come on in. Then we'll shift gears on you. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, my wife's Carol's family's from there. Sounds like we need to do some tar and feathering around this country.
Isn't that something? We can't even control our local officials anymore, folks. Isn't it unbelievable? How deep the corruption goes, whether it's corruption or whatever it is, how deep it goes. It's not just a deep state, right, baby? It's deep locally as well. You don't think those guys running for local offices where you are, you don't think they're lining their own pockets in some way? Huh? Come on, man. We're smarter than that. Okay, I want to shit. Larry, did you want to say something? Your hand's still up? Sorry.
Yeah, you just hit a nail on the head there.
Thanks.
Coach.
I tried to.
You know, it some people, a very rare number of people, might get elected to Congress in Washington and get corrupted at that point. The huge supermajority of people learn corruption from the bottom up, and they're experts at it when they get to Washington.
Amen. Okay, so listen, I want to shift gears because I want to encourage you this morning. Two things. Bring up for me, if you can, Titus 1. Folks, I went to a place yesterday. As you pull that up there, Spencer, I got a lot of stuff for you, brother. Pull up my Facebook page. Pull up my Facebook page as well. I was with David Arthur yesterday. And David Arthur and another man I was going to have a meeting with. And David Arthur and I, We went to David had eaten at a place the night before. He said, "We'll meet you there. Meet you there at 11 o'clock. We go there." Of course, now they're not masked Nazis. They won't let David in with us. So he said, "Coach, we can't go there." Then I go to Jimmy John's. And so I know we can get into Jimmy John's. So we go to Jimmy John's, and you know what happens? They don't stay right there. They won't even open the door. They won't eat. The doors aren't even open at Jimmy John's. You can't eat there. And I said, "Okay, that's enough. Hey, let's go to Knuckleheads." They said, "What? Knuckleheads?" "Yeah, let's go to Knuckleheads." They said, "What's Knuckleheads?" I said, "That's this little, it's this little shop over in Granville." Granville is like liberal central. I mean, it is liberal. Denison University, liberal central. And I said, "Yeah, those people over there at Knuckleheads, they've been fighting the local government to stay open, and they have a sign that says that you don't have to." See if we can pull down, Spencer. Slide down and see if we can find their sign at their store, right? So on down. There it is. There it is. You walk in Knucklehead's store. There's a sign. "Please remove your mask. It's been 415 days. You're still alive. Give a smile. Give a hug. Knuckleheads, Granville." And so I've been hearing about Knuckleheads. And so I said, "Let's go to Knuckleheads. Let's go to Knuckleheads." So me and David and Garrett, we go over to Knuckleheads. And you know me, right? From the moment I walked in the door, I'm Mr. Bombastic. "I'm here. And here's why I'm here. I'm here to support these people. Take off your stinking mask." And, you know, the walls are shaking, as you can probably imagine. And all of a sudden, here pops up this sweet little girl, young girl like my daughter's age, in the back room. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Because so go, David, go down a second. I want you guys to see the little. I'm taking you somewhere. Bear with me here a second, okay? So here's David, Arthur, and I walking right there, walking into Knuckleheads yesterday.
Are you there? Y'all there this morning? I'm in Granville, Ohio. I won't say anything more than that. Granville, Ohio. Some of you know what I mean. Some of you don't know what I mean. And we are at, David, Arthur, and I, let me flip this around. David, Arthur, and I are at Knuckleheads. Where's the name? I don't even see the name on it. Now, I'm making this video for all you local people. Where's the name of it, Dale? Here it is. Here it is. It's a little ice cream joint. Knuckleheads. Knuckleheads. Ice cream and sandwich shop. Right? Burger joint. Hey, folks, listen. The Nazis are trying hard to shut down Knuckleheads. Oh, yeah. Now, they're living in... Knuckleheads is in... Denison University, college town. Need I say more? So they're doing everything they can. The virtue signalers are doing everything they can to shut this little place down. And David, Arthur, and I walked up in here. I got to show you this. They don't even care. Pardon me. I'm making a video. Don't bear with me a second. Look at this sign. "Please remove your mask. It's been 415 days. You're still alive. Give a smile. Give a hug at Knuckleheads in Granville." Now, if I lived anywhere in Franklin County, if I lived over at Westerville, New Albany, boy, I'd get in my car. And I would drive over here specifically because these folks are not masked Nazis. There's the owner right back there, proud as can be, fighting against them all the time, huh?
That's right.
Yeah, my body, my choice. They don't believe in liberty.
Use your voice.
Yeah.
Use your voice.
My wife.
That's what you hear for such a time as this.
Amen.
Your voice.
Wow.
Amen. You must stand up against them.
That's right. Drive over here. Get on 161. Drive over here. Take your wife. Take your kids. Come over here. Folks, David and I this morning, we went to three different places.
You can cut it off right there, Spencer. Listen, folks. I expected to walk in Knuckleheads and see somebody like Larry, some old man in there, right? I didn't expect to walk into this place and see some 34, 35-year-old woman. That's not what I was thought I was going to be. And this little warrior is unbelievable. The more I began to talk to her. So listen, go back, Spencer. Go up to the other video. That's her with Ohio Brett. There it is.
Hi, everyone.
Okay, now this is Sabrina Knucklehead, although that's not her real name. Go to the 6 minute and 10 second mark, because she does a fabulous, she posted this video after we left. David, I don't even know if you've seen this, but I want you to hear the heart of this warrior. Oh, I'm trying to encourage you today. People are waking up everybody. Now, listen here. We'll give you the background on this. The health department, she said, the health department locally has given them no problem. Licking County Health Department has not given them any problem about masks. It's the local city council overstepping their bounds, trying to do whatever they can. And knucklehead, she and her husband said, we're not closing down. We're not wearing masks. We're not doing any of that stuff. This is America. We're opening our business. Go pound sand. You know what she said? There isn't a damn thing they can do about it. And they're still open and they're still fighting. And by the way, she said the line outside their store was a half hour waiting line to get an ice cream cone last Sunday. Not open on Sundays. Last week, as people are coming to support them. Now, listen. So I take David Arthur with me. We're there. I explain the David Arthur story. She can't believe this girl. Sabrina is on fire for the Lord, folks. She is a frontline Christian warrior. She and her husband. Listen, I did 6'10". Just listen to her here for a few minutes. Go ahead.
And he is here to tell you, I'm talking to the people right now who are hopeless. He is here to tell you that he is here. He loves you. He cares for you. Have great plans for you. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be set free from this bondage. Okay, so the story continues. So I get to work, and I'm trying to change my fryer grease, and I'm running extremely behind. And in comes this man, and he's so loud, and he's so thankful for what we're doing. And he's like, I've come here because of your sign. And he's so passionate, and he's like, I'm so thankful for you guys and what you guys are doing. I'm like, okay, awesome. Thank you. And I'm trying to get this grease to change it because we have people coming in and we need the fryer, right? Because people get fried food here. And he has someone with him. And then another man comes in with him. And to make a long story short, because I know this is a long video right now, after talking with them, first of all, it's Coach Dave. If you're not following Coach Dave, and I thought it was Coach Dave, but I wasn't for sure if it was Coach Dave because I can't believe Coach Dave just walked into my restaurant. But he did, and he did a video, and I'm so proud of him and what him and his wife have been doing over the last 3 years of exposing what is happening in our school systems, exposing the evil works of the enemy, the evil works of what he has been using his voice for over 3 years. And I remember seeing a video a few years ago from him talking about transgender and talking about the immoral things that are happening in our school system. And I thought, oh man, I'm praying for this man because he's opening up a really big topic that no one wants to talk about. Come to find out, one of the people that he's with today is a former transgender. You guys, I was so blessed by this guy's testimony, you guys. I'm not even kidding. I haven't even read this book yet, but I'm going to tonight. Okay, this is Mr. David Arthur. You guys, this man right here was transformed by the blood of Jesus. And so this message right now is for the drug addict and for the person who's dealing with immoral sin when it comes to sexuality. You guys, God loves you and he cares for you, but you must turn away from this sin. And he gave me a scripture to give, and I'm sending this to my Christian friends who are praying for this sexual sin that is in our communities and on our children to be removed. This is what he said. This guy had AIDS. He had boils all over him, and Jesus visited him because he opened up his word and brought him to Romans 1:27. And I want to read it for you today, right now. It says, the males in the same way were inflamed in their lust for one another. Males committed shameless acts with males and received in their own persons the appropriate penalty of their error. And he was immediately transformed because he knew what was happening to him was by his own error. He gave his life to Christ, and now he goes around and he shares his testimony and he talks about what is happening in our communities and what these people and these movements of the LGBT.
Spencer, you can cut it off. Folks, that's available at my Facebook page. You can go watch the rest of it. I know David's in here today. Listen, folks, this is the next generation. And rarely do I get schooled by the next generation. Before I left, she opened up her Bible, Sabrina did, and she's, by the way, her husband came, her father-in-law came. It really moved me. But she opened up her Bible, and she schooled me before I left with Titus. Go to Titus. And this is what she said to me. She says, Coach Dave, you got to realize you're You're Titus too. You're Titus too. Meaning Titus chapter 2. I didn't know what she meant, because Titus is like a page and a half in the Bible. She says, you're Titus too. You are the one that are, you're schooling the rest of us on how to do this. You're schooling the next generation. You're passing it on. You're Titus too. So I saw, I gotta go to Titus. I gotta go there. She told me Titus too. I read before and after. I went to Titus 10. Titus 1:10. All right. Here it says, live, watch. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of them, even a prophet of their own, said, the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth unto the pure all things. Whoops, lost Spence. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Folks, talking about church leaders. Go to the next one. Go to 2. Go to the next chapter, because this is what she said. Coach Dave, this is you. Hey, Larry, this is you. Michelle, this is you. Mike Blake, it's you. Randy, it's you. Reggie, this is you. What are you doing? But speak thou of the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in their behaviors becometh of holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Why? That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Coach Dave, that's you, she's telling me. She's reading and said, this is you, Coach Dave. This is you. We're the next ones in line. We're the next ones in line, Coach. We're coming behind you. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be to condemn, and that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not stealing, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purity unto himself, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee.
Amen.
Woo!
Come on.
Amen.
That's the word she gave me. I went to encourage them. She said, Coach Dave, don't lose heart. Hey, you're that, and we're coming behind you. There are many of us that are awake. We are coming behind you. Kelly, come on in. You've been waiting a while. Kelly, you just have to click on the microphone and unmute yourself.
I just wanted to say, because I forgot that you were in Ohio, that there's a group of patriots. It's where I purchase all my, when I have to comply for the mask stuff. It's called Fake Mask USA. .com, and they have been the thorn in the governor's side, and it's they're just some great patriots, and if you can go on their site and see some of their videos, they actually did you know, the planes with the flyover messages that basically, you know, saying cancel deets and all of that. So it's pretty cool what's going on in Ohio. I just wanted to say that.
Fake Masks USA.
Yeah. FakeMaskUSA.com. Check them out. They're, oh my gosh. There they are.
All right. Put that in the chat for us. God bless
there
you.
There it is right Thank there.
We got it. We got it. We got it. Thanks. Thanks for what you're doing there, Kelly. Keep fighting out there. David Arthur, come on in then, Larry.
Wow. First of all, I didn't see that video and I'm blown away. I tell you what,
David, was that ever a God ordained moment, brother? Or was that
it hit me on the way back to the hotel, was that if we would have complied, if we would have bowed down to the mask Nazi, we wouldn't have had church up in Knuckleheads for over 2 hours with doing nothing. It was nothing but testimony and the word and encouragement and edification. And it was all God. It was all God, because we went to TJ's. If we would have bowed down there, we would have. I mean, look, I could have seen the Father saying, why are they going to this place and then that place? And now they're heading over to this place. When are they going to get the Knuckleheads? Yeah, they're a bunch of Knuckleheads.
See, we want the Knuckleheads to encourage Knuckleheads, and they encouraged us.
They empowered me so much yesterday. And I tell you what, we were texting back and forth like all day yesterday. And I wish I wasn't leaving tomorrow morning, but if I wasn't, I would be going to church with them tomorrow night. But when I get back, you know, this is just, it's everything. It's everything, because this was where we were supposed to be at. There were people that were eating in there that were getting to hear this encouragement, this word, hearing about what they're doing in the school department. We're talking about trannies. We're talking about the LGBT. We're talking about comprehensive sex education, Alfred Kinsey, mad scientist, pedophile. People were listening to all of this. They're getting schooled and encouraged at the same time.
People in there eating, and she's talking at the, not the top of her voice, but she's boldly declaring that we got to fight this, and she didn't care. She didn't care what her customers, she didn't care if she offended her customers. We were just having a conversation back and forth, and she was just speaking the truth. My goodness.
And then I have to say this, I hope I'm not stepping out of bounds, Randy, but Randy sent me a word last night that he received a few days ago, and it was what sealed the day. It was the icing on the cake. I read it, I prayed, I cried, I was deep into intercession, and then I passed out. I passed out and slept for 10, 11 hours and woke up just renewed and rejuvenated and just blessed beyond measure.
Amen, baby. Amen. A time of refreshing. We're in war, man. We're in a war, and I tell you, that you talk about mutual encouragement yesterday. The sparks were flying at Knuckleheads in Granville, Ohio, man. I can't even tell you. Let's get Randy in here, then Dale.
Coach, before you put David on, I was getting ready to say this. And here's the difference. Everybody get this. Here's the difference. You can go run and do your ministry anywhere, everywhere, all the time, whatever, and that's fine. Okay, God bless you. But when you feel the Holy Spirit and you go where He's working, it's a different game, Coach. It changes everything. You guys, you, everybody that heard you, maybe 100.
Bingo!
This is the difference, Coach. We have to hear and move with the Holy Spirit, and I'm telling you, this is going to change everything. We're learning this. Thank you, Lord. We are learning this, Coach. That's what we're learning right here.
Amen. Well, I felt bad because I should have been supporting them the whole time, right? And I walk in there. They think LeBron James had walked in. They couldn't believe little old me comes walking in their store, right? I had no idea. I'd heard of knuckleheads. I had no idea what was going on in knuckleheads. And I'd walk. It's unbelievable. Dale, then Roger. Kelly, you got your hand up still, Kelly. I don't know if you want to come back in. I'll get to you. Go ahead, Dale, and then Roger.
Well, brother, this is a revelation for the encouragement of you. It reminds me of Elijah when he thought, and this is for everybody in this group. You got a very active group here, brother, but there's that time so we feel like we're the only one out there. Yep. We're the only prophet. We're the only, and God says, I have several thousand that have not bowed their knee to the mask Nazi. Amen. And brother, and they encourage you when you encounter them. And I believe that was exactly that. Not that you just encouraged them, but they encouraged you to understand there's a lot more out there. Amen.
Well, Dale, not only that, if you watch the beginning of that video that I played of Mrs. Knucklehead, I'll call her. She woke up and was having a, she was under duress, under, you know how we all get down, right? And she said it from the time she walked out of her door, it was encouragement after encouragement after encouragement. And then all of a sudden, David Arthur and I walk in, and she begins to encourage. It was unbelievable. Roger, come on in.
Dave, I don't know if this is the appropriate time, so move on if it's not. But when we think of the battle that we are in, we need to start understanding the enemy knows how to use power. Uh-huh. They are jamming everything down our throat. They're in power now, supposedly. Whenever we are in power, or those that share our thoughts are in power, we're always trying to be kind and nice and understanding. But if we're in a battle and the Lord delivers us, we need to understand how to use that power. And we need to watch the enemy right now, because they have some power and they're jamming it. They're not shy of using it. And we as believers in Christ need to understand that.
They use a different set of rules, Roger. They make us play by our own Christian rules, and then they raise hell with their set of rules, ignoring Christian rules. We got to figure this game out. Kevin, come on in.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, you said that you had never been to Knuckleheads and you didn't know what was going on in there. I think it just goes to show that there's no timing like God's timing.
Amen.
His timing was for you to go in there yesterday to have the greatest impact and then going forward. So amen to that.
Amen, Kevin. Hey, bring Titus 2 back up. Bring it back up. Kelly, did your hand still up? Did you want to get back in here, Kelly? Or you just didn't take your hand down? Dale, come on in, back in. Your hand's still up?
I'm sorry, didn't take it down.
Okay, cool. Okay, so folks, listen. It really impacted me. She said, Coach, you're Titus too. You're Titus too. Larry, you're Titus too. This has to be our job. We have to teach the group be coming behind us. We haven't done it. We've dropped the ball, right? And go back to Titus 1 real quick. Verse 10, because what's Titus 1 talking about? Exactly what we talk about here. Look, holding fast faithful word, verse 9, has been taught that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially of the circumcision, whose mouths must, they're talking about false guys standing in the pulpit. Their mouths must be stopped. They subvert whole houses, teaching things which they all ought not for filthy money's sake. Somebody say amen? Huh? One of them said, amen. Even a prophet of their own said they are Christian.
Amen, Coach.
Always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply.
Amen, Coach.
This isn't a love gospel. Sorry. It's not the love gospel, but Titus is in there just as sure as can be. Jeff, come on in.
Well, Coach, I just want to say thank you to everybody that's praying. I mean, I think we got thousands. There is so many people praying for my brother Ricky.
Hey, you got the email. You got my email this morning, didn't you, Jeff?
Yeah, on that drug.
Ivermectin. Don't let them do anything to you until they give you some ivermectin.
Okay. Go ahead. So yesterday we're going over to see Ricky. We are, and this is just how my day went yesterday. It was crazy. I start off the day before we leave the car lot. And about a week ago, this lady named Chris, I don't know who she is, never met her. She says she's a silent listener. Called me about a week ago and said she heard the stories about the ice cream truck and she heard stories about Ricky. She said, that's just moved me. The things you've been saying on the show, I want to send you a little bit of money for that ice cream truck. I said, all right, cool. I give her my address. Been about a week ago. I'm getting ready to go see Ricky yesterday. Pick his wife up. We're going every day. Open this card in the mail and it says, thank you. It says, dear Jeff, I'm truly inspired by your testimony and dedication to the Lord. May he be glorified in all that we do. Thanks for your words. Use this cash as you see fit in Jesus' name, Chris. And these, I get people who give me a $20 bill, whatever, for ice cream. I opened it up and there's five $100 bills in this envelope. I was just floored. And then I look on in the envelope and here's this letter she put in there, a poem. I read this to Coach last night. I read it to Pastor Bill yesterday. I read it to Vicky.
Read it.
Well, Ricky don't have a lot of time, but we can take some time. Here it says, a reason, a season or a lifetime friendship poem. Starts off, people come into your life for a reason, a season or a lifetime. When someone is in your life for a reason, it usually is to meet a need you have expressed or just felt. They have to come to assist you through a hard time, to provide you with guidance and support, to aid you physically, emotionally, or spiritually. Then suddenly the person disappears from your life. Your need has been met. Their work is done. Some people come into your life for a season because your turn has come to share or grow or give back. They bring you an experience of peace or make you laugh. They give you great joy. Believe it. It is real, but only for a season. Lifetime relationships teach you lifetime lessons.
So, Jeff, they, some come for a reason. Some come for a season. Now we're into a lifetime. Go ahead.
Yeah. Lifetime relationships teach you lifetime lessons. Things you must build upon to have a solid emotional foundation. Your job is to accept the lesson. Love the person and put what you have learned to use in all your other relationships. Think about the people in your life over the years, whether they were there for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Accept them and treasure them forever, how long they were meant to be part of your life. And when they're gone, be thankful for the gifts you received from them when they were here, for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. I read that and it just
really good. Yeah.
All you people out there, it's for a reason, season, or a lifetime. And Ricky has been my friend for 21 years, my brother in Christ. You know, Coach, we were there yesterday. This man is lifting his hands. He's waving to us. He's trying to talk. They're still amazed again yesterday. All of a sudden, the air that's been surrounding in his chest cavities, it stopped. They were worried about that. I mean, there has been miracle after miracle after miracle every day with this man. Look at this.
So, Jeff, these people can pray properly. What's the decision facing you right now?
Today, they're going to pull the vent. A week ago, on Wednesday, said he had no chance of living, 0%. Couldn't pull the vent because you can't do a trach. He's not a candidate for trach. All of a sudden, yesterday, this is improving, that's improving. Now he's a candidate for a trach. And we're like, no trach. Ricky don't want to lay in a rest home for the rest of his days on a trach. I mean, it's just back and forth. So Ricky yesterday's trying to talk. We're going to pull the vent as we're believing that God is healing them lungs. We believe that God is going to touched that man already through these miracles.
The doctors have said his lungs are improving, right?
Yeah, they've shown some improvement, and that air has quit escaping, whatever's going on with that. They don't even know. They just keep saying every day, man, he's a fighter. Man, this is amazing.
Jeff, I got to get in here because this is a point to be made here, okay? Jeff and Ricky's wife, Vicky, have basically forced themselves into the room. They were able to start getting in the room, right? I'm going to tell you something. If Jeff Klein and Ricky's wife, Vicky, had not been forcing themselves into that room, they're allowed to go in there every day, they would have already let Ricky die. Is that true or not, Jeff?
They partially. Already... When it first started, they listed him as near death. When they list him as near death, you can get in. Well, Vicky was allowed to get in near death and his kids, whoever. But when we first went in, I just had to say, I'm his brother. I need to go in. And then we got in.
Rick, Jeff, here's the point I want to make. I'm trying to make. Because you guys have been in there every day, they couldn't just let Ricky die, which is probably what they've done thousands of times over, right?
Oh, yeah. That's what would have happened. Now, look here. I'll hold this up. You can see it as best as possible. Ricky Miller yesterday on and on and on. We're trying to figure. He's trying to talk. We're playing guessing games. You know what he wanted to do? I'll hold this up. Ricky took an ink pen and I held the clipboard. Me and Vicky held it and he was trying to write. He scribbled on this piece of paper like a 2-year-old. And he was getting so frustrated. He's slamming his hand on the bed. He's like, we figured it out at the end of the day. He's saying, help me. Help me. And we said, Ricky, we're not leaving your side, brother. We're going to be here. And I told him, I said, you ready for tomorrow? You ready to get that vent pulled out? He's shaking his head, yes. I said, are you ready? I said, we're going to have another person here with us. I said, guess who it is? He looked up at me with them eyes like, who? I said, Pastor Bill. You want Pastor Bill here? He shook his head, yes. We're going this morning. We're leaving out here at 9 o'clock and we're going
I wasn't trying to cut you off. I'm trying to get you the important part so people can understand that had Jeff and Vicky not been going into that room, they would not have been, they would have counted Ricky for dead. Folks, do you understand it? Do you understand that they're not people allowing people to get into these hospitals and be a watchdog and keep an eye on the, do you understand what's going on? And so even right now, Jeff and Vicky have to make a decision when they go in there. What if they pull the ventilator, Ricky immediately is not able to start breathing on his own? Do they just let him lay there or die? So Jeff and Vicky have some very difficult decisions they have to make with the doctor. Listen, hey, Jeff, the doctor said what? They don't like to leave the vent in longer than 10 days. They didn't give you any medical reason. They just said they don't like to do it more than 10 days. So if they had their way and you and Vicky weren't there every day, they may have already pulled that thing out. Is that right?
Yeah, and last Wednesday, the doctor told us, he said, well, it's probably going to happen. He has 0% chance of living. Here's what's going to happen. And that was Wednesday. He said, today, tonight, tomorrow, that air pressure that's building in his body is going to collapse his lung. He said, it's going to collapse it, force it against the heart. He showed us the x-rays. He said, it's going to smother that heart, and he's going to die. And we're like, oh, my goodness. Here it is, almost Wednesday, a week later. Ricky's writing on a tablet. He's raising his hands, help me. You know what I mean? We're helping him.
So, folks, they're going to go in there today, and one of the plans is to pull the ventilator out of Ricky and see if he can breathe on his own. And Jeff and Vicky got to make some decisions about it. But ivermectin, Jeff, I sent you that. Read what I sent you in that Facebook page, or not you on that email, brother. Listen, people are being raised. Oh my goodness. God. I hope when I'm laying in the hospital, I got a friend like Jeff Klein. I hope I do. God bless you, Jeff. God bless you and Vicky. And we can't hear you. You're muted, man.
Well, that pharmacist told Pastor Bill yesterday that these drugs work to heal the lungs while you're on the ventilator.
Folks, listen, they ran into a pharmacist yesterday. Pastor Bill ran into a pharmacist. And the pharmacist said, they got to give him this. And they're not giving him that, right? Right,
Jeff? The pharmacist said, if you pull the ventilator and he can't do this, the ventilator needs to go back in because you need more time for that medication to heal them lungs more. He said them lungs are healing. He wouldn't be lifting his hands, writing, trying to talk. He wouldn't have the energy without the oxygen in his lungs. So something's working. It's coming along.
Folks, listen, we got to understand this, baby. We got to understand this. We are dealing with a wicked, wicked system. It may be good people. The doctor may be a good, but he may be limited on what he knows on his own experience. He didn't try this. The guy, maybe the Medicaid tells him he's not allowed to use that. And all these kind of things, right? And so without somebody there to be an advocate for them, Ricky would already be dead. Now, hang on, folks. What about Reggie being an advocate for those preborn? Those are not the preborn, but the trafficked children. What about Mark Harrington and others being an advocate for the preborn? What about David Arthur being an advocate for those children that are, I won't back down. We that has got to be our attitude, folks. The devil does not want to see God glorified. And too often, dare I say this, we pull the plug on the Lord. Let's give him a chance to work. Give him a chance to work miracles. And how's that happen? You got to open your daggone mouth. You Titus 2 folks out there, got to open your daggone mouth. Stand up and speak up. I won't back down. Be praying for Ricky Miller, Jeff, and Vicky, and all they're going to go through today. Let God be glorified. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.